The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
The second order I'm going to be signing also changes what the president has done, the former president has done.
There's the fake president referring to President Donald Trump. Someone, I guess, running the earpiece forgot to tell him that he's President Biden now. That's from, I believe, Thursday or Friday from last week. He gave a few remarks there in the Oval Office. He wasn't wearing a mask coming in, by the way. He was coughing a fair bit. So there you go, saying the silent part out loud. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily. Welcome back to the new Trumpet Daily set, as you can see behind me. They've been doing some remodeling in here. We've got a massive screen over here for the upcoming Super Bowl watch party, I suppose. We've got other things in motion as well. My daughter told me this morning that I need to get some sponsorship from maybe the kombucha people or the Macintosh company, Apple, I guess it is. In any event, hopefully you enjoyed the new look. We've been busy with remodeling over in Edstone as well. So whether we're over there or whether we're here, we've got some pretty good options. And as you know, we've been really promoting the Trumpet.com website with the live stream, thetrumpet.com /live. And we still are getting some requests from viewers to return to YouTube. And so hopefully we'll be able to do that soon enough. But for now, the people that enjoy the live stream, you can get to that at thetrumpet.com website. Just a quick update on the concert series and an announcement as well. We've got another concert tomorrow evening, and I just wanted to let all of you know, of course, if you're here locally, you can go to the website, armstrongauditorium.org, in order to purchase tickets for the show tomorrow. But I also just want to let everyone out in the field or around the world know that you can also live stream tomorrow's event. I believe it's $15 for the show. And the show is titled Mark Jenkins and Friends. Our very own Mark Jenkins, he's going to be performing with some other musicians from here in Oklahoma. And they're going to be performing a tribute to Ellis Marsalis. Ellis Marsalis, that's tomorrow night, February the 2nd, Tuesday evening, 7:30 p.m. So that's Central Time here in Oklahoma. So if you'd like to watch that, I know if you're a member of the church, you can actually get the free stream to that at the PCOG site, but quite a few of our members go ahead and pay the $15 just to help support the concert series that we sponsor. So whatever you would like, that concert will be available tomorrow evening. On today's show, later on, we're going to continue with our study. Of course, Richard filled in on Friday, an excellent show, by the way, where he talked about GameStop. And as he titled it, Tulips and the U.S. Economy's Boiler Room. If you didn't listen to that program, I'd encourage you to go back to the show that was posted after his live broadcast from Edstone, because it really does help to help us to make sense of all that happened last week with respect to GameStop and the stock market. And really, this ongoing war between the populist movement and the elites who feel like they should control. You've already gotten calls from the radical left saying that we need to regulate the stock market. Richard talked about some of the comments that he noticed on Reddit, and after his show on Friday, I went and looked at some of them too. And I mean, there are people just absolutely furious with, I forget the name of the company, that Robinhood, I think it is, that put controls, or rather disabled some of the features, or prevented investors from purchasing GameStop and some of these other stocks that they want to buy. And as he explained on Friday, it's bringing down some of these massive hedge funds. So here again, it's you talk about rigging the system, whether it's the Washington elites, whether it's the political process in the United States, the economic process or system that's set up, and just the control that a few people have. Big tech, another example. The control that they have. And then I'll play some clips from Tucker Carlson's monologue on Friday night. But it's basically telling us, look, this is headed for war. That's where we're headed. It's headed for civil war. Anyway, that's a little diversion from what I was going to tell you about the continuing study. I got into the subject of Absalom and his rebellion on Thursday's show. Quite a few people sent some emails in response to that study. And if we have time today, there is a fair bit of news to get through here in the stack. But if we have time today, we'll continue on with that same theme and study into the insurrection led by Adonijah right there at the end of King David's life, as Adonijah decided to appoint himself as king. First, I want to begin with the likes and the dislikes. To dislike or not to dislike? That is the question. You look at these videos. Chris Eames has been tracking this for us. He's at our Edstone offices. But he said this morning that so far the Biden administration, the fake administration, we should note, they've posted 35 videos, and Chris has totaled up the likes versus the dislikes. And despite YouTube's best efforts to delete as many dislikes as possible, the videos still are getting 6.4 times as many dislikes as they are likes. For every like of a Biden video, there's 6.4 that say, nope, don't like it. And Chris said what's really revealing here, as he was following this over the weekend, is that every time he would check in here and there, he'd see how subtle, how sneaky YouTube was with removing 100 dislikes here or a couple hundred dislikes over here. They're trying to shorten that gap. They don't want it to be, you know, for every like, they don't want it to be 10 or 15 or 20 dislikes. So they've narrowed that gap because, well, they're in control, and they don't want you to think that this is an unpopular fake president. So they've got to get in there and manipulate the numbers, just like they did on the night of the election, November the 3rd. They get in there and they take away some of the votes. And how long will it be before they start adding, if they're not already, before they start adding likes to some of these Biden videos? What's interesting is that if you look at some of the older videos, he's been in the office of fake president for what is it? I guess a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. And you go back and look at some of the older videos, and I think it was something like for every like, there's 4 or 5 dislikes. But if you look at some of the newer ones, it's much, much worse for Joe Biden. It says while his first 25 videos sit at a pretty even diluted average of 4 dislikes to every like, the last 10 are way above, sitting at an average of 12.4 dislikes for every like. You see, YouTube hasn't had enough time yet to go in and take away 100 here or 100 there. They'll get to it. They don't want to make it so obvious right at the start. But you look at the most recent videos and just compare it to the older ones, and you see what's going on here. You see what's going on here. By way of comparison, by the way, Chris looked at the Trump's archive channel, Donald Trump's YouTube channel and the archived official White House videos that were put out early on in his presidency. And it's just the opposite. The first 35 videos average 4.4 likes to every dislike. And like Chris pointed out, back at the start, the press secretary was Sean Spicer, and they really went after him. They made him look like a fool. Those press conferences, if you remember, were quite contentious. And yet, even still, it was 4.5-1 in favor of likes. And then you move toward the end of Donald Trump's presidency, and the last 35 videos, they averaged 15.6 likes for every dislike. So he grew in popularity. And of course, we know that by the November 3rd election as well, because he won in a landslide. He actually gained in popularity over the 4 years of his presidency. So look at the trend and then compare it to the fake president. Here we're supposed to believe, the media say this with a straight face, we're supposed to believe that Donald Trump was the worst president ever. Everybody hated him. And Joe Biden, by comparison, he's the most popular president in the history of the United States. And it's exactly the opposite of what they're telling us. No wonder so many people are looking for alternative news sites. No wonder they're searching far and wide for someone to just tell them the truth. Brian Stelter was on his program yesterday calling for cable companies to remove Fox, or at least to put them away from the news channels. You know, don't put them right near MSNBC or CNN because, well, Fox is telling lies. And then Stelter gets on TV yesterday and says, look, it's not really that we're trying to censor them. We just want to reduce their reach. You see, it's not censorship. They're crying censorship, and we're not really aiming for that. We just don't want them to be as popular as they are. We don't want it to be easy for you to watch Fox News. We don't want it to be easy for you to see Tucker Carlson. No wonder people are leaving, and they're leaving Fox as well, because they're upset over the election coverage. No wonder they're looking for any and every source that they can find out there, like this program, that just tells you the truth. This morning in the New York Times, this was the headline in the Daily Email coming from the New York Times. 77 days, Trump's campaign to subvert the election. So it's Donald Trump that tried to subvert the election. You know who wrote this article at the New York Times? Well, I'll give it to you. Jim Ruttenberg, Joe Becker, Eric Lipton, Maggie Haberman, Jonathan Martin, Matthew Rosenberg, and Michael Schmidt. That's practically the whole New York Times staff. They are busy on this article. This is very important, this article. 77 days. Donald Trump's campaign to subvert the election. The quip says, hours after the U.S. voted, the president declared the election a fraud, a lie that unleashed a movement that would shatter democratic norms and upend the peaceful transfer of power. What is it that we always say on this program? Regarding the radical left, what they accuse you of is what they are guilty of. A truer article would have been 1,546 days. That's how far on we are from the November 8th election in 2016. 1,546 days, Obama's campaign to subvert the election of 2016 and 2020, both of them. That's the truth. That's what the New York Times should be reporting. That's what they should turn 6 or 7 journalists loose on. Instead, those same journalists that wrote the one this morning, they're trying to cover up the truth. To cover up the truth about what happened on November 3rd. To cover up the truth about what's happened over the last 4.5 years. The Washington Post, by the way, It had a story today about the U.S. Capitol riots. They won't stop covering this because that was the attempted coup. That was the insurrection. That's what it all, the election steal, those lies about the election steal, it culminated in this attack on the Capitol, which, of course, is a lie as well. And then we're supposed to believe that President Trump was the one who incited it. And yet, as the Post even points out, the FBI is turning up more and more evidence showing that it was pre-planned, showing that it was planned ahead of time. It was coordinated. And the FBI has all, and in fact, the FBI was getting all kinds of tips before January the 6th. This is from the article. It says, that same day, FBI personnel in Norfolk were increasingly alarmed by the online conversations that were they were seeing, including warlike talk about the convoys headed to the nation's capital. So this is all intel they were getting before the so-called insurrection. The FBI, keep that in mind. It says one map posted online described the rally points, declaring them a MAGA cavalry to connect Patriot caravans to stop the steal in D.C. Another map showed the U.S. Congress indicating tunnels connecting different parts of the complex. The map was headlined, Create Perimeter, according to the FBI report, which was reviewed by the Washington Post. So they knew all of this ahead of time, which begs to question then, why were there so few police officers on January the 6th surrounding the Capitol? Why was there no security, virtually no security? And those that were there, as you've seen on video, those that were there, a lot of them stepped aside. A lot of them ushered in the protesters. It was a setup from the beginning, a total setup. And they've used it as a pretext to finally put to rest this lie about the election steal. And all of the Republicans, right on cue, they just caved into the pressure. No longer going to protest, certainly not in Congress. We came under attack. Suddenly, January 6th changed the facts about November 3rd. Because of the so-called insurrection, everything changed. You can't even talk about election steal. You can't even bring it up. They're still bringing it up about 2016, the major media, the propaganda media. They're still sending out reports about how 2016 was stolen for President Trump. But you don't dare talk about November 3rd, 2020. 77 days, Donald Trump's campaign to subvert the election. How many journalists were working on that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 journalists at the New York Times. No wonder people are looking for real news. No wonder. There was a report over the weekend about Black Lives Matter, nominated for... Are you ready for this? Nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. That's the world we live in. The upside-down world here in the United States. Andrew Cuomo gets an Emmy, and Black Lives Matter gets a Nobel Peace Prize. Or at least there's people pushing for it. This is from The Guardian. They're reporting this like it's serious news. Serious news. It says the Black Lives Matter movement has been nominated for the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize for the way it's called for systemic change has spread around the world. Isn't that awesome? I mean, they burned down the cities in the United States and the movement spread over the world. And so they deserve a Peace Prize. What a joke. It's reported, though, with all seriousness. It says... The call for systemic change has spread around the world. In his nomination papers, the Norwegian MP Peter Eide said the movement has forced countries outside the U.S. to grapple with racism within their own societies. This movement that burned down Milwaukee, that burned down the cities of the United States, Kenosha, that destroyed hundreds and hundreds of businesses. You look at this nomination, and what are they, again, what do they see, these people that report on this, when they look at last summer? Well, they see it as an act of righteousness. Okay, it was a little messy in certain points, but overwhelmingly, it was mostly peaceful. What about January the 6th? Well, that was worse than Pearl Harbor. That was worse than 9/11. Tucker Carlson had a pretty powerful monologue on Friday night as he talked about the city of Washington, Washington, D.C. It was an armed camp leading up to the inauguration. Again, they used January 6th as an excuse to bring in all of it, those tens of thousands of troops, and there's still troups there, and they're currently building a wall. The same party that's taking down the wall or wants to take down the wall at the southern border, they're building a wall around Congress. So much for it being the people's house. They're building a security fence around the Capitol. This was Tucker Carlson on his show Friday evening, clip one.
A lot going on in this country right now, but maybe the single biggest mystery, when you take three steps back, is why Democrats became so vicious after they won. So Joe Biden got the White House, his party took the Congress. You'd think they'd be thrilled, that's what they wanted. You'd think they'd be celebrating, but no, instead they started a purge. Within hours, Democrats began crushing even the mildest dissent. They shut down an entire social media company called Parler, not because Parler had done anything wrong, but simply because they couldn't control it. They couldn't take the chance that somebody on Parler might criticize them, so they eliminated it. Then 2 days ago, they arrested a man, threw him in handcuffs, brought him up on federal charges because he made fun of Hillary Clinton on Twitter. That man is now facing 10 years in prison. Democrats then declared war on their rival political party. Not, by the way, a metaphorical war, but an actual one with soldiers and paramilitary law enforcement and the world's most powerful intelligence agencies.
That's Tucker from his show Friday night. And here this, I mentioned, I guess it was last Thursday, this man that was arrested for, as he said there, making fun of Hillary Clinton. Then you compare that with Kevin Kleinsmith. I think we heard on Friday, he's the FBI lawyer that altered the email in order to hide from the FISA court, to hide the fact that Carter Page worked as an informant for the CIA. He was working for the U.S. government. And Kleinsmith decided to hide that fact because, well, all that FISA needs to know is that what we're saying now is Carter Page is a spy. He's a Russian agent. So he alters the email, which was a material crime. He committed a crime. This was a fraud. And it went on for four applications in that FISA court. John Durham's prosecutors were seeking the maximum penalty for Mr. Kleinsmith, 6 months in jail. And even that's not really that. It's, given what happened and the, what was it, 1,546 days to subvert the government of Donald Trump, 6 months in jail, at the very least, would be well-deserved. But the Obama-appointed judge instead gave Kleinsmith 12 months probation. He's on probation. He's got to serve 400 hours of community service. And then he was slapped with a $100 fine. That's it. He's got to pay $100. Well, we can't put him in jail. He might get coronavirus. He might get the flu. Then he might die. So it's better that he's just kind of in his home, like so many other Americans. Is this justice? What's the message that the courts, you think about Habakkuk 1, you think about Amos, the prophet Amos, what he said about the injustice of today. Here's a man that actually committed a crime and lied to a court so that they could spy on the Trump campaign and the Trump presidency. And the message coming from the deep state, it could not be clearer. if you break the rules to punish a political enemy on the right, you're completely justified. Because it's, after all, it's Donald Trump and his supporters. They're evil through and through. They're evil. Now, on the other hand, if you support Donald Trump and you're in your late 60s and you have a completely clean record, but you threaten a guy's dog, then you're going to have the FBI, I think about 20 of them, come into your house, a pre-dawn raid, and CNN's going to be invited to get it all on film. That actually happened. That actually happened. If you're a Trump supporter and you forget a little detail in an FBI interview, you're going to go to jail. That actually happened. That actually happened. Kevin Kleinsmith, that's the only one. He was the fall guy. The only one so far. The only one that the Durham investigation has really pinned down as guilty. And he gets probation and a $100 fine. Meanwhile, as you heard from Tucker, they're arresting some guy who told a joke. He told a joke about Hillary Clinton. Here's more from Tucker's show Friday, clip two.
This is the most sweeping and audacious assault on civil liberties in American history. So the question is, what accounts for this? Why are they doing it? It's worth figuring that out. On the most basic level, of course, it's a power grab. We've said that from the first day, and it remains true. The Democratic Party doesn't exist to serve some abstract principle, liberty or justice or the Bill of Rights, no. Nor is its primary goal improving the lives of its voters. If you've been to Detroit, you know that's true. No, the Democratic Party exists to accumulate power, all of it. Some is never enough. The impulse is to control everything.
The impulse, he said, is to control everything. Now, you think about some of the statements my father's made over the years, and we have, you know, more than we can quote on this program. From America's Real Enemy, this is in August of 2016, my father said, at the same time, the Obama administration has undermined America's power abroad. It has amassed power within the nation, in the federal government, especially in the presidency itself. You see, this gave us a little bit of insight into how a fake Biden presidency would operate. 42 executive orders? And we're not even 2 weeks in? Amass power at home. It says, this may seem contradictory, but in fact, it's another side of the same story. In case after case, this administration has taken more power for itself and increased its control over the American people. That's about the Obama administration. That's an article from 2016. Then you go to some of those articles that my father wrote during the Trump presidency about the radical left and how that we're seeing just how far they're willing to go to seize power and to stay in power. And following on what Tucker just said in that clip, their impulse is to control everything. And we're seeing it. They want to control everything. To have some power is not enough. It's got to be total control. And then if these stations like Fox News cry afoul, you're trying to censor us. Here comes Brian Stelter rushing to the mic, saying, look, we're not trying to censor you. We're just trying to make it a little bit harder for people to get to you. That's all. We just don't want your message, your lies, to get out to too many people. It's a war. It's a war between these two sides. And pretty soon it turns into a hot war. That's where it's headed. That's what's prophesied. Here's clip three from Friday night.
The truth is, our leaders don't have answers. They don't even have explanations for what's going on. Worse than that, they themselves are deeply implicated in the systemic problems, in some cases the crimes, that are dragging the country down. They know all this. They know their guilt. Here's the thing. They know that you know it too. And that's why they're afraid. They know why populism is rising, and it is. So this really is the time to make a decision about how to respond to it. What our leaders do next will define what America looks like going forward.
Well, what they're doing next, they're already doing it. They want total control. They want to censor the voice of their opponents. And it's building to violence on a mass scale. My father wrote in his article, A New Government is Coming. This is from a few months ago. He says, it's becoming clearer than ever that the leaders and governments of this world, so it's not just America, but the leaders and the governments of this world do not have real answers to the problems we face. And that's what Tucker was pointing out. The radical left, their answer to the rise of this populist movement is to put up fences around the Capitol, to confiscate guns, to censor voices. My father says, in many countries, dissatisfaction and anger with government are spreading faster than coronavirus. It says, in so many cases, not only are our leaders not solving our crises, they're creating more crises. They're just making the problems much worse. That's happening here in the United States. It's happening all over the world. And you know why? Because Revelation 12 says that Satan and his demons have been cast to this earth. They're confined to this earth. They're causing a lot of problems. They're causing a lot of trouble here in the United States and all over the world. Here's one final clip from Tucker Carlson Friday evening, clip 4.
In the face of all of that, the people in charge are doing the single stupidest, most counterproductive thing that any leader could do in the face of a populist movement. They're refusing to admit their role in the decline. They're refusing to admit their failures, and instead, they are blaming the people they have failed. They're literally declaring war on their own population. How's that going to end? And if you think we're overstating it, we're not. Here's the former CIA director describing what the enemy looks like.
And this threat from domestic violence extremists is much more challenging, I believe, than it was in terms of going after foreign terrorists. The domestic violent extremists are much more pervasive. Their numbers are much larger. When we were going after Al-Qaeda or other types of terrorist groups, cells here in the United States, their numbers were in the single digits of dozens and was finding needles in a haystack. Here, there are a lot of haystacks with a lot of needles in them. They have the wherewithal. They already have the weapons that, if they so choose to use them, they can, in fact, carry out these deadly attacks.
So many problems in this country, evident to anyone who's paying attention. But John Brennan, the former CIA director, has isolated the real problem. The real problem is you. According to Brennan, anyone who disagrees with, say, Susan Rice is worse than Osama bin Laden and more dangerous. These people, meaning you, quote, have the weapons, these terrorists. By terrorist, Brennan means tens of millions of American citizens who might have a firearm at home and didn't vote for Joe Biden. They're the threat, and we need to hunt them as we hunted Al-Qaeda.
That's Tucker Carlson from Friday night. And as he played there, that's John Brennan. That's Obama's CIA director. Of all the problems that we're facing, what the radical left sees as the biggest problem of all, it's the Trump supporters. They're declaring war, as he said, war on their own people. They're declaring war against their own population. Listen to Nancy Pelosi. She made this remark, I believe, on Friday. They're building the wall around the Capitol, but here she's talking about those that are going to, I guess, commit acts of violence within the Capitol. This is clip 5.
What exactly did you mean when you said that the enemy is within? What exactly did you mean?
It means that we have members of Congress who want to bring guns on the floor and have threatened violence on other members of Congress.
Members of Congress that want to bring guns to the floor of the House and to threaten their... It's bizarre and crazy and deranged. That's the Speaker of the House of Representatives. I guess the fence, the wall, won't be good enough. Because there's dangerous members of the House, those dangerous Republicans. This is from Saving America, from the radical left. Here's what they really want. my father wrote in 2018. The mindset behind the radical Democrats is exposed when you look at their handling of another issue, gun control. Every time there's a school shooting, even before any facts of the situation come out, they immediately begin pushing for gun bans. And further on, he says they hate the Second Amendment and they want to destroy the Constitution. They want a revolution. And this is something we've been saying for years now. This is something going back to Herbert Armstrong. He was saying decades ago. They want a revolution. They want to bring down the system. And they're using all of these crises. The China virus, the election steal rhetoric, the January 6th insurrection, quote unquote. They're using it to amass power. It's not enough to have some power. They want all of it. They want the powers of a dictator. They want to rule by decree. That's what they're doing. They want the revolution. My father said their aggressive attack on the rule of law is chopping at the pillars of our own nation. Had Hillary Clinton been elected, the destructive trends that unfolded during the Obama presidency would have continued unchecked, and they surely would have intensified. Many people, including me, believe it would have meant an end to our constitutional republic. Well, that doesn't seem like an exaggeration. Today, you might have read that a few years ago and thought, well, is that somewhat of an exaggeration? Well, look at what they're doing today. Look at what they're doing in the last 2 weeks. And look at where it's leading. Isaiah 1 and verse 7, it says, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Civil war, Ezekiel 4, Ezekiel 5. My father wrote, and race riots were prophesied. This is from last year as well. He said, God says that if we do not bring him into the picture, our problems will grow worse and worse. That's what your Bible says. If we don't bring God into the picture, if we don't bring God into this solution, the problems are only going to intensify. He says neither side is going to win the coming civil war. People on both sides may think they'll win, but none will. God will use this terrible destruction to punish us for forsaking him for our sins and for our sins. He says over 100 Bible prophecies say that destruction to punish us over 100 Bible prophecies say that, and we have been proclaiming them for more than 74 years. This is my father writing just last summer about what your Bible says about America's future. Again, we're already seeing it, aren't we? God intervened. Hillary Clinton didn't get in there in 2016. But look at the way this fake administration is governing with all of these people that served under the Antiochus administration. Susan Rice, John Kerry, and so on. Listen to this, and good for this reporter, asking the press secretary, Jen Psaki. This was, I think, on Thursday or Friday of last week, clip 6.
President Biden ran on a pledge to restore unity. He promised on Inauguration Day he'd be a president for all Americans, but since he's gotten into office, he's been largely acting unilaterally. I mean, we saw a record-breaking number of executive orders. He has not yet met with lawmakers on Capitol Hill, and we're not even quite sure who he's talking to on Capitol Hill. So what do you say to Americans who are watching all of these executive orders? And does the White House think that this is the best way to make policy, considering an opposing president could come back in 4 years from now in a race, all the work he's done with the stroke of a pen?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there.
There sure is. There sure is a lot to unpack there. What do you say to Americans concerned about all these executive orders? And what do they say? This is what we've got to do. What did Obama say? Hey, I've got a pen and a phone. If Congress doesn't cooperate, I'll just start signing executive orders. And he did. And we wrote about it in America Under Attack. This time around, Biden, this reporter says, so far as we know, I don't think Biden's even contacted anyone in Congress Who's he even talking to at the congressional level? There's no discussions. There's no, hey, what about this legislation? Hey, how about if you guys promote this bill and I'll sign it? It's just executive order after executive order after executive order. My father wrote in America Under Attack, he said, the president is, this is about Barack Obama, the president is taking these types of actions with greater and greater frequency. Well, as it turns out, it was nowhere near the level of Biden. He says, people's minds are getting conditioned to executive orders, which are primarily intended to circumvent Congress and the Constitution. That is the aim. And then my father said this, this is quickly moving us toward rule by a dictatorship or a tyranny. This is in America Under Attack, written back in 2013. It's amazing. The Trumpet, we've got all kinds of Trumpet articles that say the same things. If you've been following our materials, you know where this is leading. You know that God's prophecies have been spot on. Now the latest, what is this, the March or the April issue, where it's got Joe Biden on the cover, that's coming out here in the next few days. But make sure that you read that article, as my father talks about. Again, God intervening some way, somehow, to put Donald Trump back in there. That's an important piece of this puzzle as well. But he says back in 2013, this is quickly moving us toward rule by a dictatorship or a tyranny. This trend toward lawlessness is deadly. It's deadly. And my father says, and I guarantee, based on biblical prophecy, that it's going to get far worse. That's from his booklet, America Under Attack. Well, we will take a short break, and I think I will reserve the Adonijah study for tomorrow. So make sure that you tune in to tomorrow's program so that we can flesh that out with a little bit of detail and not try to hurry it into the last 10 or 12 minutes. In addition, I have some material here on the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, some statements he made, I guess, at the end of last week, and this new study that has come out showing that the deaths in the elderly care homes is far worse. It's like double what Cuomo's people announced over the last few months. It's so much worse than what even he was saying. So we'll come to that in the time that remains. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Breathing out, breathing in, more precious than it's ever been. We can't take it for granted. Never in our lifetimes has that fact been clearer, that precious breath of life. It might start to shorten. It might struggle. It might cease. How can it be protected? How can it be prolonged? How can it be saved? And what is the purpose anyway? What is the purpose of human life? What should you use that breath for? Most of us turn to doctors. It's a reflex, but it's becoming more and more clear that the medical industry does not have all the answers. It can be amazingly helpful, but can it actually heal? Is this the place to turn for healing after all? The human body, human breath, human life was designed, powered, preserved. It was created. Who made it? With something so important as your life, you need to know the creator of life. The Plain Truth About Healing by Herbert W. Armstrong will show you from your Bible the answers to the questions even most Christians are afraid to ask. Is the day of miracles past? Does the living God heal sickness? Did God raise up medical science for our day? What is the role of doctors? You can have not only sound health, but a sound mind. Go to thetrumpet.com and search The Plain Truth About Healing by Herbert W. Armstrong.
This is KPCG-FM.
We were ambushed like no other state, Nicole. And again, it was from federal incompetence. They thought the virus was in China. It had left China, it had gone to Europe, and it came here for 3 months before they ever knew. Incompetent government kills people. Incompetent government kills people. More people died than needed to die in COVID. That's the truth.
That's the truth, says the governor of New York. Incompetent government kills people. Of course, he's talking about the federal government underneath Donald Trump. Never mind the COVID deaths from January 20th to today. That doesn't count. But from last February, March through to January 20th, it was all on Donald Trump, his incompetent government. That's why people were dying. That's what Governor Cuomo said. I believe it was last Tuesday. And then the next day, how about this? The next day or the day after, out comes this report from his own attorney general in New York, his own government. There's this report that says that, you know what, the COVID deaths in the nursing homes, it's actually twice as bad as what Andrew Cuomo was saying. All of these people dying. And this from a Democrat attorney general. Cuomo's people said it was something like 6,000 deaths in New York nursing homes. Now we come to find out it was probably more like 12,000. Twice as bad. And how does Governor Cuomo respond to this new report? This is clip 11.
But we're below the national average in number of deaths in nursing homes. But who cares? 33, 28 died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
Who cares? Who cares, he says. If they died in a nursing home or if they died in a hospital, who cares? They died. They died. It's similar to what Hillary Clinton said after Benghazi. What does it matter? At this point, Senator, what difference does it make, she said. That's the way they respond. Even when it's proven that they were incompetent, they still put the spin on it and say, you know what? My leadership through all of this was just absolutely brilliant. CNN, one of its reporters, even said that Andrew Cuomo's COVID-19 performance may have been less stellar than it seemed. Well, that's at least he's bringing it up, but it's still an understatement. The Republican rep from New York says that this is a massive corruption and cover-up scandal. They tried to cover it up. They killed all those people because of the decree. That's the way they rule, right? We've got to make the decree. And so they did at the end of March last year. If you're COVID positive, we've got to clear out the hospital so we have enough beds. So send those COVID positives back to the nursing homes, back to the place that has people who are the most vulnerable. And then what did he do back last summer? He said, well, you know, it's the nursing homes problem. They didn't have the kinds of facilities. The nursing homes, of course, were crying aloud, saying, we don't have the facilities for these sick patients. And Cuomo's response was, well, it's your own fault. And don't bother me anyway. I mean, I'm writing a book about myself. I'm writing a book about how great my leadership is during the COVID crisis. Who does this? Andrew Cuomo does this. That's who. And the media, for their part, just lavishing praise, praise, one compliment after another compliment about how wonderful his leadership was through the whole crisis. And it was worse in New York than anywhere else in the world. And more people died, twice as many people died from elderly care centers than what they were reporting last year. Here's how the media, through it all, here's how the media reported on the leadership of Governor Andrew Cuomo, clip 10.
Even lifelong Republicans tell me, they look at Cuomo and they're like, God, there's a leader.
Governor Cuomo, who has been a leader in calling for science-based ways to fight this coronavirus. The Academy says that he's being recognized for, quote, his leadership during the COVID pandemic and his masterful use of television to inform and calm people around this world.
Tonight, what we can see from Democrats, especially someone like Andrew Cuomo, is a really pointed prosecution of President Trump's handling of the virus.
I commend Governor Cuomo in taking some of these steps that they already have in limiting capacity.
I have feelings for Andrew Cuomo. I wrote a piece about it.
Having heard you day after day after day at your press conferences, I have to wonder what it's like to be in your shoes with the weight of this responsibility and just the sheer exhaustion you must be feeling right now.
We're lucky now to be joined by Governor Cuomo.
Governor Cuomo is joining us now. His new book, by the way, is entitled American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic.
I hope you are able to appreciate what you did in your state and what it means for the rest of the country now. I'm wowed by what you did, and more importantly, I'm wowed by how you did it.
So you just do what's right. I did what was right. I'm comfortable with what I did. I think the facts bear it out. I think the numbers bear it out. I think we saved tens of thousands of lives, but I did what was right.
There's a sampling. It's almost too much to stomach there. What does the prophet Isaiah say? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. He continues, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. That's from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me conclude with a comment or two from some of our listeners. This one says, just watched today's TDRS. The conspiracy is strong. What a great job of showing us the direct correlation between Absalom's conspiracy to stage a coup against his father, King David, and what has just happened in our election here in America, or Israel, if you prefer. Your presentation was extremely specific about many aspects and personages involved in our election in this end time, not just Donald Trump. I guess it's weak for me to say that I don't know who else could have made such a perfect comparison to the coup against King David and the one we just witnessed here in Manasseh. It says, obviously your father and some others in God's ministry of his one and only true church, the PCG. It says, I'm in awe of the many presentations your church produces, but this one was especially well done. Another viewer says, while reading your magazine this morning, I started to wonder if and when big tech would start the process of eliminating your message. Now I see from this article that they already have. I'm almost 75, and I never thought I would see this happening in America. The Democrats were calling President Trump a Nazi, but it seems to me all these actions since Biden was elected or since Biden was inaugurated, like the removing of conservatives from social media, calling for the ousting of conservative senators, and calling for conservatives to be deprogrammed, are following Hitler's footsteps. It says, and all Biden's executive actions are devastating, and what our children are being taught in a lot of public schools, it's horrible. I've never been so frightened for our future. I guess all I can do is pray to God to save us. That comes from one of our older viewers. And that's all that we have time for. We have lots of other comments, and I'll just have to try to get to those as the week progresses. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show right here in our new studio in Edmond, Oklahoma. You can email the show at td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.